Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take your sources, notes, articles, and pull out the key insights, the real nuggets of knowledge. Our goal is always to give you that shortcut to being well-informed and maybe spark some of those aha moments along the way. Today, we're looking at a really powerful message. It was delivered Sunday, August 17th, 2025, by Brother Steve over at New Life Benson. The message was, "Happy are the peacemakers," lesson 35. And honestly, this isn't just about understanding peace in a simple way. It's more about fundamentally reevaluating what it means to be a biblical peacemaker, especially right now in today's world. It challenges some, you know, really common assumptions and lays out a deeper call for us as Christians. So get ready, your view on peace might just get wonderfully expanded. When you first hear that word peacemaker, what typically springs to mind, I think for a lot of us, it's just, well, the absence of conflict, right? Like a quiet room, no arguments, maybe a ceasefire somewhere. But as Brother Steve showed us, that's not quite how God defines it. Not at all. He painted a much richer picture, more active.
That's precisely it. Brother Steve made it crystal clear that peace is this monumental theme woven all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, think about it. It starts with that original perfect peace in Eden, you know, total harmony. Then it moves to Jesus himself becoming our peace through the cross, fixing that broken relationship with God. And it all points towards that future eternal age of peace when Christ reigns as the Prince of Peace, an unending peace. He even mentioned there are over 400 references to peace in the Bible. It really underscores how God identifies himself as the God of peace. It's fundamental to his character.
But despite that huge biblical focus, our world is, well, it's obviously not at peace, is it? Conflict seems to be everywhere. So what did Brother Steve pinpoint as the core reasons for this? This lack of peace globally and even personally, what's blocking God's design?
He highlighted two critical factors. Constant hurdles, really. First, there's the relentless opposition of Satan, who just thrives on sowing discord. And second, there's the disobedience of humanity, which goes right back to the fall, both angels and mankind. That original sin fractured everything, our relationship with God, with each other, even within ourselves. And Brother Steve stressed that real peace, it's fundamentally a two-way street. It needs a mutual desire, a willingness from both sides to reconcile. And sadly, that's often missing in our world. And this, he explained, this sets the stage for God's really unique call to his people. He said God has specifically designated a group of people that he calls peacemakers. It's like a special assignment.
And he drew such a compelling contrast there, didn't he? Between the world's idea of peacekeepers and God's call to be peacemakers. It wasn't just words, it was about the whole mission.
Absolutely. He explained that unlike worldly peacekeepers, and he even used his Air Force experience with nuclear missiles as an example, where peace meant forcing an enemy's hand through strength, peace by intimidation almost. Unlike that, Christ's followers are called to be God's active agents for eternal peace. This isn't about forcing temporary quiet. It's about deep, lasting transformation. And it comes with this incredible promise. God will bless his agents for peace. He'll even call them sons or daughters of God. That points to a really deep family relationship we have when we take on this mission.
That is a remarkable insight, especially when you think about the constant turmoil Brother Steve noted everywhere in society. He mentioned fragile relationships, the family breakups he sees constantly in counseling, problems in schools, the endless protests about, well, everything it seems. He very pointedly observed that man has no peace within himself, that deep internal brokenness creates this desperate need for a true peacemaker.
Right. And that internal brokenness leads us straight to Brother Steve's, let's call it radical definition of peace. He really challenged that common, almost passive idea that peace is just the absence of something like the quiet after a storm stops or a truce where fighting pauses. He used that stark example of a cemetery. Sure, there's no conflict there, no arguments, but is that really peace? It's just the absence of life, which means, yeah, absence of conflict too. But it's not God's kind of peace.
Okay, so if it's not just the absence of conflict, if it's more than quiet, what is biblical peace? How did he define it? He powerfully asserted that biblical peace is the presence of righteousness that causes right relationships. Just let that sink in. It's not passive. It's creative. It's an active force. It's not just about stopping the war. It's about creating the righteousness, God's standards, his truth, his character that actually lets two opposing parties genuinely embrace, come into real harmony. He passionately said Christians are meant to be aggressive peacemakers. No, not aggressive negatively, but proactive. Intentional. We're not supposed to just passively walk through life with, as he put it, blinders on, ignoring the conflict. Instead, we actively speak the presence of something into conflict. Imagine a conflict situation. The aggressive peacemaker isn't just trying to get them to stop fighting. They're bringing in a truth, a righteous principle that can actually mend the relationship, even if it feels uncomfortable first.
And speaking of conflict, he seemed quite critical of some historical attempts at global peace, didn't he? Mentioning the League of Nations, the UN. Why did he see those huge efforts as ultimately not achieving real lasting peace? Well, his argument was that they often failed because they evaded issues. They sought peace at any price. They were more focused on getting a surface level agreement than digging into the root causes of the conflict, the unrighteousness involved. Brother Scabe explained that true biblical peace, the kind God brings, it actually conquers problems. It builds a bridge over the division. It doesn't just wallpaper over the cracks. And he admitted, yeah, achieving this kind of peace often involves struggle. It can mean anguish, even more strife in the short run. It's not the easy path. But his conviction was clear. Only with the Lord and his truth can real peace emerge from those hard places.
It's never about dodging the uncomfortable conversations that righteousness requires.
That brings us to a really crucial point he emphasized, maybe surprising for some, the absolute prerequisite for this kind of peace. He made it very clear. Peace doesn't just happen on its own. There's something that has to come first.
Indeed. He drew right from James 3.17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Based on that, Brother Steve declared very clearly, purity comes before peace. That's foundational, he stated point blank. Peace is never sought out at the expense of righteousness. If our idea of peace ignores purity, if it compromises truth or morality just to keep things quiet, then it's simply not the peace God talks about. He backed this up with Hebrews 12.17, pursue peace with all people and holiness. See? Linked together. And then that beautiful picture in Psalm 85.10, righteousness and peace have met together, they have kissed. They aren't separate. They're intertwined, perfectly aligned. So trying to get peace by sacrificing truth, he warned that only gets you a truce. And a truce just lets people, as he put it, reload for the next fight. It solves nothing long term.
Okay, understanding that, it makes Jesus's words, which can seem contradictory, makes so much more sense. You know, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. Or in Luke, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. How did Brother Steve connect those statements with this call to be a peacemaker? Because on the surface, they seem opposite.
That was such a vital connection he made. He explained Jesus wasn't backing down from peace, but he absolutely was not advocating for peace at any price. Not peace that ignores truth. The sword in those verses, it represents the truth, God's truth, the gospel itself. And when that truth is brought forward, yes, it causes necessary strife. Why? Because the underlying conflict, the sin, the unrighteousness has to be confronted and resolved before true lasting peace is possible. So for us as Christians, being a peacemaker means bringing this truth, this divine sword, into a world that, frankly, often loves falsehoods, a world that doesn't want to hear about sin or its need for a savior. And when we do that, when we speak truth, Brother Steve was very direct, it will make us dividers, disturbers, disruptors in the eyes of the world. That's a challenging reality we have to accept.
He definitely didn't mince words there. He spoke really passionately against what he called mamby-pamby Christianity. You know, the kind of faith that just avoids anything difficult, more worried about being liked than being faithful to what the Bible actually teaches. He urged us, quoting Jude 3, to earnestly contend for the faith. That means actively defending and sharing biblical truth, even if it initially causes upset or division. He even shared personally about losing friends because he talked to them about Jesus. They just didn't want to hear the truth that could actually bring them peace.
And that's such a critical point for you, our listener. This isn't just theology for a Sunday sermon. It's a direct, maybe even urgent, call to action in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Steve posed a really sharp question.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us have unsaved friends, unsaved family members that we've just never really talked to about Jesus Christ? Maybe because we want to avoid conflict. He argued the gospel itself is designed to convict. It brings contention, it brings strife, because it shines a light on sin and calls for change, for repentance. But, and this is the crucial part, it's only when that conflict is resolved through faith in Jesus Christ, through surrendering to his truth, then real, lasting peace can happen.
So bottom line, to truly make peace, biblical peace, Brother Steve declared, we got to preach Jesus. It means we absolutely don't water down our principles. We don't abandon doctrine or conviction just to keep an artificial calm. Instead, we're called to always bring up the truth, the life-giving truth of the gospel, even if it offends initially, even if it creates discomfort. Because that truth is the only way others can find the source of real, deep, enduring peace.
And Brother Steve wrapped up his message with this powerful call for personal spiritual growth. We can't be effective peacemakers if we're stagnant ourselves. He used that wonderful analogy of the potter's wheel, reminding us that as believers, we should be constantly allowing God to shape us, changed and conformed by his hand.
We shouldn't just be sitting on the Potter shelf, you know. Comfortable, maybe, but unchanging, ineffective.
He made a clear distinction, too, didn't he? Between little children in Christ, that term from 1 John for new or immature believers and mature believers. He urged us not to be, and he repeated this word for emphasis, poor Christians, meaning spiritually weak, ineffective. Instead, he passionately called us to strive, to grow into strong young men, spiritual mothers and fathers in the faith, growing in understanding, actively living out his teachings. It's a call to that deep, personal growth that has to fuel our outward mission.
Absolutely. And his closing exhortation was just a direct charge, a real rallying cry that summed it all up. Stand up, Christians. Fight for what's right. Proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ to a society that so desperately needs it. Here. It's that reminder that our faith isn't meant to be passive. It's not meant to be kept private when the world around us is in such turmoil.
And the closing prayer by the other speaker really reinforced that, didn't it? This idea of actively choosing obedience to God every day, fighting temptation by intentionally putting on God's armor, speaking his name boldly, even when it's countercultural. It's about avoiding that internal chaos that comes when we choose anything less than full surrender to Jesus and his way. It's a call to a vibrant, active faith. So after all that, what does this mean for you listening right now? Brother Steve's message really shifts our whole understanding of peace, I think. It's clearly not about just avoiding strife or conflict no matter what. Instead, it seems it's about being courageous enough to speak the truth of Jesus Christ. And while that truth might initially bring contention, might feel uncomfortable, it's the only path to true lasting peace. Mm-hmm. For individuals and ultimately for the world, it's challenging, yes, but also incredibly liberating when you grasp it.
And this brings up an important question, maybe something for you to reflect on further. Brother Steve mentioned his evening service topic. He said he'd be teaching on the criteria upon which your rewards will be based. Three items that will determine how you'll be rewarded at the Bayima seat. Now, the Bayima seat, for those maybe less familiar, is generally understood as the judgment seat of Christ, not for salvation that's secure for believers, but for evaluating our works, our service for eternal rewards. So here's the thought. If being a biblical peacemaker in this often dark world sometimes means we have to embrace conflict for the sake of truth, if it means actively disrupting false peace to bring about genuine righteousness, how might that active, maybe even disruptive at times, pursuit of God's true peace contribute to your eternal rewards at that Bayima seat? It's a powerful connection to consider, isn't it? How our faithfulness here, even when it's hard, relates to eternity there.
Definitely something to reflect on. We encourage you to think about this challenging but liberating view of peace and what your role as a peacemaker looks like in your own life, your own sphere of influence. Thank you for joining us on the Depth Dive.